Podcast.
Well, it's May, and that means high school graduation is right around the corner. But we want to make sure that another group of graduates are not forgotten. The people who earn their GED. Here with his own personal story of triumph on the general equivalency diploma is Mr. Jorge Rodriguez.
Thank you very much, Mr. Fallon. When I began to study for the GED, I was a father of four. My back had just gone out, and I lost my job at the post office. Nobody will hire me. Not UPS, not Federal Express, not DHL, not,
What, like Airborne Express?
Airborne Express. I couldn't even get a job delivering pizza. Not at Pizza Hut. Not at Domino's. Little Caesar. Not at,
Papa John's.
No, I didn't apply at Papa John's.
All right, John. We got whatever. Keep going.
So, anyway, I took the GED. And I failed it. I failed science. I failed math. I failed
English.
Yeah, I failed everything.
Okay, yep.
Then I got serious about it and I took it again. But I failed it again. So I sat down and I said to myself, get real. You gotta pass this test.
Yeah.
I got super serious and I studied my head off. And I still failed. I still failed.
But you failed three times?
No, I failed five times. Then I said, I'm gonna take this thing one last time. And my friend Pepe told me that he passed by putting the letter C for every answer.
And then you passed.
No, my friend Pepe was wrong.
Why are you here?
I'm looking for Pepe. Anybody know Pepe? Anybody? Don't worry. Don't worry, Jimmy Fallon. I'm gonna get Pepe. Your ass is grass, and I'm the lawnmower. I'm the Toro. I'm the Honda. I'm the John Deere. I'm the Snapper.
That's enough. Jorge Rodriguez, everyone.
No, I'm just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous. Don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest disc jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that. Inside you say, I've heard it all before. It's like deja vu all over again.
17th of August 2021 here at JZOnTheLine.com. My voice is still screwed up. I had another one of those steroid shots into my spine last week. And I don't know exactly what physiologically is taking place when I get those things down in my lumbar disc area. But for some reason, over the course of the next couple of days, it makes my voice sound funny. And that's how I sound today. Speaking of medical, after months of rumors that this was in our future, it apparently is a reality. And the CDC, the federal government, everybody else involved in all of this is saying we are in for a booster shot 8 months after your second or final shot. The Associated Press reporting this morning that booster shots for all Americans 8 months after their second shot is in your future. Can't even talk people into getting their first shot, and now you're going to try and talk them into getting their third. Let's see how this plays out. I encountered my first driverless car yesterday. It was some outfit. I couldn't tell you the name of the company, but it was right in front of me. It was a van, and it had one of those little satellite swirly things on top, just going round and round and round, and I didn't see anybody in the thing. And it was parked in front of me at a stoplight, getting ready to turn onto a very busy state road. And it made a left-hand turn in front of me and just went on without any sort of incident whatsoever. But really freaky to look in there and realize there wasn't a driver. And while that was very impressive, Tesla is still having issues. Apparently, 7 emergency vehicles have been the target of a Tesla driverless car. So in other words, on 7 separate occasions, Tesla was driving these things around without drivers, and they crashed into emergency vehicles. It doesn't say it here, but I'm going to identify that as a problem. All right, a problem for the Los Angeles Dodgers. I mean, embarrassment if nothing else. I mean, for God's sakes. So they bring on Cole Hamels, who is at the tail end of his career. A great pitcher around both leagues. And, you know, the Dodgers say, okay, he's free. Let's pick him up. We'll pay him $1 million. Maybe he can help us down through the pennant chase. Well, they wrote the check for $1 million, and he is now going on the 60-day injured reserve list. So he's just got $1 million, didn't throw one pitch. Now, this was a long time ago. This was 37 years ago, but I remember the U-Man and I, one morning, we took Joaquin Andujar's salary and we just did some rudimentary math and figured out, okay, if he's making this much a year, on average, he throws this many pitches a game, this many pitches a season. And we just basically did some basic arithmetic and figured out that when Joaquin Andujar back in 1985 wound up, and even if he wound up and threw it over the backstop, he would get paid $415 for every single pitch. $415 for every single pitch. I thought that we had heard the end of Hope Solo. You'll recall that this semi-attractive star goalie for the U.S. women's soccer team, and also for the, what was it, the Athletica, she was around St. Louis doing that too, but this chick has issues. She really has issues. Not that hundreds of thousands of men who have played in some sort of high-profile professional sports league didn't have the same kind of issues. But, you know, we are in a growing phase in this country right now, getting used to the idea of women, badass women out there competing athletically and people following them around and these people getting into trouble from time to time. But, you know, Hope Solo, this was more than just, you know, her getting a DUI or something like that. She's cray-cray, man, just crazy. Even Tonya Harding was like, hey, don't put me in the same breath as her. I might be trailer trash, but I'm not Hope Solo. Anyhow, I'm not even really sure why she's considered relevant right now. I don't think she's playing anymore. Anyhow, she says that Megan Rapinoe used to bully players into kneeling for the national anthem because she wanted to stand up for something in her particular way, end quote. For the record, it doesn't seem that anybody who's played with Megan Rapinoe has ever complained about her bullying them. I think it's more cray-cray from Hope Solo. More sports. The Cardinals got gypped out of the Field of Dreams game. They were supposed to play in the original one, and then COVID took care of that. So then they had the White Sox play the Yankees last week, and the ratings were insane. And they have already announced that next year's Field of Dreams game in Iowa is going to be the Cubs and Cincinnati. Also, a TV drama based on Field of Dreams is coming to NBC Peacock streaming service. It's being developed by the guy who created The Good Place. A woman is suing Bob Dylan, claiming he groomed and sexually abused her when she was 12 years old. All of this happening 56 years ago. Dylan's lawyer says her claim is untrue and will be vigorously defended. Orlando Bloom must really love being in the water naked because he just posted some skinny dipping pics and a video 5 years ago. They published his infamous naked paddleboarding excursion with Katy Perry. That guy seems to be living the dream, wouldn't you say? It's going to be the Cardinals and the Brewers starting tonight. And if the Cardinals have any intention whatsoever of making a run at the final wild card spot, this is pretty much it. They blow this and you can just make the shift to preseason football because it will be all over for the St. Louis National Baseball Club. And one more baseball note here, because this is one of the great stories ever in the history of organized athletics on any level. And it happened on this date, 1957. Richie Ashburn of the Philadelphia Phillies is up to bat, and he hits a foul ball, one of those screamers into the field boxes that nails a woman by the name of Alice Roth, and it hits her in the face. It breaks her nose. She's bleeding all over the place. They stop the game. They get a stretcher out of the dugout, and they go running up into the field boxes, and a couple of players help carry her out of the park. And at that particular ballpark, the only way to get out was to walk the length of the field boxes down either the left field line or the right field line, and then you would exit the ballpark that way. So they're carrying her on the stretcher through the crowd. They resume the game. They throw another pitch to Richie Ashburn, and he hits another screaming foul ball and hits her while she's on the stretcher. Some days it just doesn't pay to get out of bed. Want to go all the way back to 1998, and we were pretty darned excited. And this was one of those things that St. Louis pulled off, and pulled off very, very well. I have absolutely no complaints about the way the Planet Hollywood grand opening was executed. It really was a feather in the cap for St. Louis. Now, the place is long gone, of course, but at the time, you know, we were pretty darned excited about it. And if you were here, you remember that it was crazy. It was crazy. And I go by the St. Louis Police Department estimates when we start talking about crowd. You know, for years, I've been, you know, telling people, don't believe the estimates from the VP Fair or something like that. 70 million people attended this year. Just go by what the police say, because the police have, they have like a grid system that would take too long to explain. But they said it was 40,000 people lining the streets of St. Louis down on the landing. You may recall him as Rick Idle. I always know him as Todd Newton. Todd and I were given the job of sort of covering this thing together. We were standing up on top of news vans and sending live reports back to our various media outlets. Everybody who was anybody in terms of fame regarding the city of St. Louis was there. Chuck Berry, Jerry Berger, Ozzy, Stan Musial, you know, all of those people were there and walked the length of the red carpet, which was four blocks. It was pretty darn cool. Then the big stars started showing up. You know, I got this thing for Yasmeen Bleeth from Baywatch. She isn't anymore, but it's a long story. Back then, we're talking 1998. We all looked pretty good back then. And then Bruce Willis, you know, came up, tore his shirt off, started singing in the rain and stuff like that. So it was a really, really big deal. And I got to spend some time with the star of Caroline in the City, All the Right Moves with Tom Cruise, and a little thing called Back to the Future, actress Leah Thompson.
First movie I ever saw you in was All the Right Moves. You and Tom Cruise were babies. You were just like children in that movie. You couldn't have known back then that you would have a fabulous movie career and that Cruise would turn into what he turned into. What do you remember about that period in your life and your career and maybe the days of making that movie, which for a lot of people, present company included, was the first time we ever saw you?
Well, that movie was a wonderful movie because it was really a character piece, and I learned a lot from Tom Cruise because he had done a few movies before, but he wasn't a star he wasn't a big star.
Yeah, but the other thing too is it was a movie about high school athletics and about high school, but without that stupid kind of Porky's mentality to it. It was like, you know, an intelligent script and a real story, and you know, people who look back at that movie now say, you know, that was a very good piece of work.
Thank you. That's a really nice compliment. We tried really hard. We tried to make a serious. We tried to really examine the problems of these people in a steel mill town and be really empathetic about it. And Tom Cruise was the hardest, and still is, the hardest working actor I've ever had the pleasure of working with.
Now, that's interesting because of all the different ways we think of Tom Cruise, I don't think I've ever heard anybody describe him as the hardest working. That's very interesting.
He works really hard. He's very intense and he's very concentrated and he's... You know, he just puts himself through the ringer, and he doesn't lighten up too much, you know, at least at that point. I don't know what he's like anymore, but I still get the feeling he's like that now. And I learned a lot about his dedication He had a lot of concentration. Very impressive.
You got yourself a hit TV show, Caroline in the City. Tell me a little bit about how, you know, the old TV joke is, they say, how many network executives does it take to screw in a light bulb? And the answer to the joke is, well, why does it have to be a light bulb? Now, with that in mind, how does the show look now compared to the original conception you had of it? Is it a lot different, or is it about what you had in mind when you had those first couple of production meetings before the show went into production?
You know what? It's not a lot different. It's we were lucky. A lot of times they tinker a lot, they fire people, they regroup. Our show was blessed that way. We went in, we did it. No one got fired. It's all been pretty even. The network didn't bug us too much, and now we're going into our fourth season. We can really play around a lot because, you know, we've got our group of fans, and they seem very, very loyal. And I'm really looking forward to the fourth season. We're going to have a blast. We're going to really blow. This season, we might really do some wild things.
And as big a hit as the show is, with all the different things that you have kind of making up your resume, when your career is said and done, will it still be Back to the Future as kind of that pinnacle?
I don't know. I hope not. I mean, I love that movie, but I hope I have a couple of them. But you don't get that many great parts. I've had just a few, a handful, and you know, you never know when it's going to happen, and you just always hope for another one, you know. And I think there's one or two more for me. It's interesting though, because my name was Leah Back to the Future Thompson, and now it's kind of Leah Caroline in the City Thompson. Yeah. I've got a new middle name.
Sure.
So.
And we had Michael J. Fox in St. Louis a couple of years ago when he was doing promotion for Doc Hollywood. And everybody asked the same question. How can you make three Back to the Future movies with everybody from the original cast in it except Crispin Glover? Now, we know that Crispin is a couple of bricks short of being a full load, but, I mean, Michael never gave me a direct answer. So how can you help me understand why Crispin was in the original movie and then we never saw him again after that?
Well, I think that there was creative differences. I loved him. I loved him in the first movie. I thought he was just absolutely brilliant. And I just think that he was really difficult to work with. And some people don't mind that, and some people can't put up with it. And we had a whole year of shooting Back to the Future 2 and 3, and I can see how they would be Zemeckis didn't want to put up with it. It wasn't good for me, because they couldn't write for me then. So.
Quite the sweetheart, Leah Thompson, right there, and a veteran of the Back to the Future trilogy. A lot of good movies that are good one time. And you're like, that's it. I'm glad I saw this, but get me the hell out of here. Somebody put together a list. Clockwork Orange from 71. Pink Flamingo. You don't need to see Pink Flamingos. It's just spectacle. That's all from 72. I don't need... What takes me to the movies and gets me excited about seeing a film is not having a transvestite eating dog feces, which happens in Pink Flamingos. I'm sorry. Some people think it's a rite of passage, you know, when you're a young college student or something like that to see that movie. I'm sorry, I don't. Deliverance, 72, good one to put on the list. Schindler's List, American History X, Hotel Rwanda, oh geez. 127 Hours, definitely belongs on the list. The Revenant, that's that bear attack thing with Leonardo DiCaprio from 2015. 12 Years a Slave, City of God, that's a Brazilian film. And the one that's not on this list, and I think it should be on, is definitely Midnight Express. No point in seeing that twice. You see it one time, you've seen everything that's in the movie, and you don't need to relive that. And I'm not sure why anybody would, by the way. All right, late night tonight, Paris Hilton. I'm with Jimmy Fallon for some reason. Jimmy Kimmel's got a mini driver with, he doesn't have anything. He's on for the summer, but it's Julie Bowen who is doing the hosting job, and then mini driver will be her guest. Amanda Peet on with Stephen Colbert, and Jennifer Hudson pops up with Seth Meyers. If you have a lot of money and you want to blow it, you can buy The Crypt next to Hugh Hefner and Marilyn Monroe for just $2 million. And here we go. Barbara Streisand throwing shade at Lady Gaga, saying that their version of A Star Is Born was too similar to hers, Barbara's. Birthdays today, Donnie Wahlberg, 52, Sean Penn, 61. What do you get for the man who's beaten up everything? Belinda Carlisle of the Go-Go's, we've had her on the air too. She was pleasant but guarded. She also might have been very, very tired. I interviewed her in the seats about 3 o'clock in the afternoon at the Fox Theater. She was going to be playing. This was probably, oh my gosh, what, 86? I think her life was a little messed up back then, too. Not like horribly or anything, but I think she was having love life issues back then. And Robert De Niro, 78 years old today. I don't like thinking about the fact that De Niro is that age, because you know what's going to happen. One day you're going to be sitting there minding your own business and somebody's going to say, did you hear Robert De Niro passed away? People are not going to live forever. It's going to be a brutal decade coming up, as all of these musical and comedic and cultural actors and icons in the entertainment business are going to start dropping. And you could argue very successfully that they already have been and continue to. This number sounds very, very high, but that's what they say. New survey says the average American wastes over $70,000 in their lifetime on disappointing online purchases. It's about $900 a year. The most common types of unsatisfying buys: clothing, tech, kids' toys, and the disappointment is often because the quality isn't as good as expected or turned out to be the wrong size or color. Sending an item back isn't always worth it, but we do return an average of 4 online purchases a year. That's roughly 314 returns over a lifetime. People also shared some of their most disappointing purchases. They include a leather jacket that turned out to be plastic, steaks that tasted like shoes, an alarm clock where you couldn't lower the brightness, a fan that didn't blow air, an uncomfortable recliner in a box that arrived empty. Every once in a while, you hear a story about a criminal who certainly may have been misguided, but seemed also to have a tremendous amount of energy, creativity, stuff like that. And this story comes from right here in good old Missouri. A man in Columbia was caught shoplifting from a Kohl's store on Saturday, so they called the police. When they showed up, the guy hopped in a stolen car and then rammed it into a police car and got away. He was later involved in a head-on collision and then fled on foot. He attempted another carjacking and was caught by police. They handcuffed him, shackled his ankles, and placed him in the back of the patrol car. The cops stepped away to investigate, and while they were gone, the guy got his cuffed hands in front of him, broke through the cage between the back seat and the front seat, and managed to steal the patrol car. He crashed that car and attempted to carjack another. That didn't work out, so he broke into a house in the neighborhood, stole a key for a personal watercraft, and was attempting to steal that when the police caught up with him again. He jumped into the water, still cuffed and shackled, and the cops jumped in after him and finally took him into custody. He's facing at least 11 charges. Here's a stat that might get your attention, might be cause for concern. Moms with young kids increased their consumption of booze by nearly 325% between March and December of last year. Gosh, I wonder what was going on during that period that would have... And since the pandemic, more people are smoking pot while exercising. The age-old argument continues about whether or not you're supposed to tip delivery drivers. What if you order food and you just go pick it up? Should you still leave a tip, or are you just giving your money away for no good reason? Well, somebody polled over 8,000 people, and most of us do still leave a tip at least sometimes. 67% said yes, they do. The other 33% either said they never leave a tip or don't order takeout. So how much should you tip for pickup? The most popular answer, 10 to 15%, but 1 in 3 people tip more than that. Back somewhere in the 1990s, somebody had the brilliant idea to try to turn Las Vegas into a destination vacation location for families. In other words, they were trying to change the entire image of Las Vegas. And they even made the movie Vegas Vacation with Chevy Chase and Beverly D'Angelo. And I went on that trip. I went to Vegas. That's when she kissed me on the hand, by the way. Beverly and I hit it off. Little did I know she was having babies with Al Pacino at the same time. But that was the whole idea. It's like turn Las Vegas into a family destination. trying to turn Vegas like into the Wisconsin Dells. It was very short-lived. Very short-lived. And in that movie, Vegas Vacation, they stuck Wayne Newton in there. And because I was on the film junket, you know, where you go see the movie like on a Tuesday night and then on Wednesday, they give you access to all of the people who are in the movie and do the interviews, and then I run them on TV in St. Louis. And one of those people was Wayne Newton. I just remember he was into, I think it was those Lipizzaner horses. Is that how you pronounce it? Those dancing Arabian horses? Well, in 1992, apparently he went overboard on the horses and had to file for bankruptcy. He owed $20 million to about 200 creditors. He blamed the recession for his problems. And a guy I have really respected for a long time and just love his music, Carlos Santana, got his star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame on this date, 1998, 23 years ago today. He's our JC Celebrity A-List Interview of the Day. All right, Carlos Santana, no stints in rehab, no pushing photographers, police don't get called to your house. You know what I'm talking about. No twerking that I'm aware of. You know, your career and your life path never went in that direction. But why? I mean, you were right in that time period in the 60s and 70s, part of that whole music scene where people were dropping like flies. Not you. Why? Simple as that, huh?
Just simple as that. You know, when you hang out with you have and I have an inner support system and an outer support system. The sisters or your brothers or your mom, just look at eyes that looking at you with compassion to prevent you from getting in trouble. If you learn to read eyes, then you won't get in trouble with doing stupid crap, you know?
Now, early on, especially, because you're someone to whom a big chunk of the Hispanic community really looks up to, how has that been? Because I'm guessing a lot of people have lots of different causes, and they think that Carlos Santana should spearhead everything, and you can't say yes to everybody. How do you handle that?
Oh, you know, that's an incredible question. I handle it by asking my inner light. Everyone has inner light. You know, like a lot of people, unfortunately, are invested with fear. They don't want to believe you are a beam of light, but I am a beam of light, and so are you, and we have Christness in us. It's not just Jesus Christ who has a monopoly on miracles or articulating a language of compassion. You'd be sadly mistaken. There's Krishna, Allah, Buddha, you know, like that. So Christness is a language of light that we all have encoded in our molecular structure.
And with that in mind, in the back of your head, I've been to quite a few Santana concerts, and there's a lot of pot in the audiences at your shows. And we're watching the legalization of pot. I think it's up to like 21 states right now. What's your position on all that, considering your fans tend to imbibe quite a bit?
Well, you know, as I said before, there's drugs which man makes in a laboratory, and there's medicine that Mother Nature makes on the ground.
I guess I'm going to take a shot here and say you're one of those people who, like me, who does not even classify marijuana as a drug.
Absolutely not. Photosynthesis, a live beam that tells plants what color, what flavor, what symmetry to be. Petals or roots, when you boil these things and you drink them, it can heal your lungs, your kidneys, your pancreas, you know. So curanderos, the healers, knew something beyond the European mind. When they came, they saw this as devil worshiping, and the first thing they killed when they came to America was the healers. They call them witch doctors. So it goes back for a long time. I think that marijuana, peyote, ayahuasca, all those things were given to us by Mother Nature for us to open the doors of perception.
That's a great answer, and I'm going to steal that, okay? All right. Now one more question here before we start talking about what you're up to right now, and that has to do with the collaborations. Rob Thomas, Michelle Branch, hugely successful, and yet not a lot of musicians really tend to do them. Talk a little bit about why you do the collaborations and how all of that got started.
Well, you know, I grew up in the 60s, and when I went to the Fillmore, because of Bill Graham would allow me to go there for free in the beginning, I learned a lot from Cream and Jimi Hendrix and everybody, you know, Otis Redding. So I learned it. It wasn't just B.B. King or Tito Puente that I was supposed to just become a child of. You know, I listened to Miles and Coltrane, Bob Marley, Michael Jackson. So my collaboration to me, it means that I am able to go anyone's house, cook something delicious, and be part of the family. I'm in this planet to compliment. I'm not in the Olympics, or I don't need to compete or compare. I'm in the business of giving people chills, and so it's a blessing to be able to say to you, I'm 66 years old. It's not impossible for me to collaborate with Lady Gaga or Justin Timberlake or Wayne Shorter or Herbie Hancock and or anyone like that, you know?
All right, let's talk about what you're up to these days, and you are busy giving back to the community again. Has to do with musical instruments. Tell everybody about it.
It's a real blessing, you know, to collaborate with my brother, Andre Agassi. He started a school here in Las Vegas in the middle of the ghetto. There's no graffiti outside or inside. He has 100% graduation, and the people here in the casinos, they're so impressed with him. The people in charge, the CEOs of MGM or Caesar's Palace, the biggest places here in Las Vegas, they're so impressed with him as I am that we're all of us investing with him so we can go viral because he's so successful with 100% graduation. He actually has in-house 24 hours counseling for the parents as well, you know? So he's doing something that the Department of Education is failing to do. We invest more money in education than incarceration. And he has shown that if we can invest like Andre Agassi in schools like we do with Starbucks and go viral and have each city have seven schools like that, we're going to change the violence and the brutality and the ignorance in this country.
You're going to be performing in Las Vegas until when?
Until spring, Lord willing.
So people who are thinking about going to Vegas, or even if they're not, maybe they are now, they come and they see you perform in Las Vegas, where you are living right now with your new bride. You proposed to her on stage in the middle of one of your concerts. I mean, guys are trying to come up with great new ideas on how to propose to their girlfriends, and you just kicked everybody's ass, man. We can't keep up with stuff like that.
Well, you know, when I saw her, and I saw her play, but I also saw her heart, and Cindy is really remarkable. When you see her play, it reminds you of Bruce Lee and Evel Knievel. I mean, she's really at that level playing drums. It's not cute. It's not clever. She, like you said, she would just whoop your ass, you know? But she's got that energy that is really, really... So what can I tell you?
Carlos, you are a gift to music. You're a great guy. You're doing great stuff, and you've given us terrific music. Thank you for spending a little time with us this morning.
Man, thank you, and best to you and your family. Again, thank you for spreading good consciousness on radio. We need it.
Thanks, Carlos.
Bye-bye.
Hard to find a nicer guy than that and more cooperative and understanding. And you're going to laugh when I say this because you would think that this was a given. But there's a lot of people who show up for these interviews that I do, and it's almost like they don't even understand what their job is. The job is to give a good interview. Say interesting things. Be cooperative. Have some fun. Let people get to know you a little bit. It's amazing how many people I interview who seem not to understand that very, very basic concept. Carlos, one of the guys who really gets it and couldn't be happier for the guy. All right, that's it. We are done for the 17th of August 2021 here at jcontheline.com. We publish every weekday morning at 7 o'clock. It's a half an hour. It's free. If you miss a podcast, they're all archived here, and you can pick this up here or wherever you get your podcasts on multiple platforms. Email me at jc@jcontheline.com or follow me on Facebook, The Showgram with JC Corcoran. Have a great day. We'll talk to you again tomorrow. In the meantime, we've beaten this one to death. Have a good one. See you later. Bye.
The JC Corcoran Podcast.